Good evening and welcome to folks on Zoom. We're happy to have you with us. I missed being with you last week and I had to do penance today, so this is my third worship service today. It's been a good day. I'll tell you a little more about it in our sharing time. So, God is good. He loves us. He's on the throne. He's happy today. And life doesn't get much better than that. So let's pray, let's sing, let's celebrate Jesus. Father, we thank you so much that we can come before you and just tell you how much we love you. And we do. You are so worthy of our praise and our adoration and our appreciation. And we do all three of those. We thank you that you love us, that you come to us, and that you connect with us through Holy Spirit. By sending Jesus, who came and showed us yourself. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for all that you accomplished on our behalf. We celebrate your life, your suffering, your death, your resurrection, and look forward to the day when we're united with you in the presence of the Father. Holy Spirit, come and surprise us tonight and have you break through and have your way. We look forward to your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy. I'm wired for sound. I just need to turn myself on. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. I'm not alone. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight?
I do.
Someone else? Wendy?
This song is thankful. Power of prayer, and unfortunately, it took a whole bunch of people dying in advance to bring us together. But I actually started my day and ended my day 2 days in a row with somebody that I thought I would never be praying with. And it's just miraculous that God actually brings us together and still bad things happen and still has worked this way.
Praise the Lord. God brings people together when bad things happen around the world that we can't imagine. Jeff.
Lydia just celebrated her 10th birthday.
All right. Happy birthday, Lydia. Number 10. Yesterday was this party. I think Thursday was the bed.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Got to be careful how you stretch sometimes. I thought you were raising your hand. I almost called them. Well, I had raised my hand earlier, so I'll take my turn now. Unless somebody wants to jump in, of course, you make me wait. I started my day off by getting out of bed significantly earlier than I usually do on a Sunday morning because there was going to be a special baptism service Fruitland at 9 o'clock, and I wanted to be there. Another one of my grandchildren, Caleb, my son Brian's oldest son, was baptized this morning, and I was able to be there for that. It was a wonderful experience to be able to be there with them. And so Caleb seemed happy. Part of the sharing was that one of the youth leaders said, before we went to, he says, I know something significant happened to Caleb at the youth retreat that we went to. Because in the time I knew Caleb before that, I might have heard him say 5 words total. But coming home on the bus, he was happy, and he was talking to people, and he was active, and he was involved, and so Caleb seemed quite happy today. I was happy to see that. So it's always exciting when one of my children or grandchildren makes a milestone, stepping stone in their life, especially in their faith commitment and their walk with the Lord. So I certainly want to affirm those and be part of them every
There was another grandson that was baptized. His grandfather was the former pastor of the parent church of the church that that Brian and Megan attended, the boys. So he baptized his grandson. And they apparently dunk them three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Grandpa got the grandson the fourth time with fire. And the boy came up and went, "That's four." Grandpa sure said, "I'm glad I stopped." So. Well, it's been a while since we've been here, so let's pray our offertory prayer. Oh, I also, the second service I was at was important too. I bring greetings from Pastor Charles Bagley. I attended his church this morning, and I enjoyed being there. It was the fourth Sunday of the month, of a five Sunday month, and so that made it their youth day. And so his sermon was a YouTube video of a children's story, Good Samaritan. And then he asked me if I wanted to have a word for the children too. So I did my M&M story without M&Ms. I asked him if there was any cookies or candy in the kitchen because I didn't come prepared. I didn't know that was happening. And he said, "Yeah, we have cookies and candy out in the kitchen." So I said, "Okay, great. Can I use it?" "Sure." So he brought it out and I said, gave him this dish, this bowl with different kinds of candy in it, Reese's Cups, Dirt Patties, Mr. Good Bars, Hershey Bars. And I said, "Okay, now I want to buy this from you." I said, "How much can I buy this from you for?" So I gave him some money. He said, "That's fine." So I said, "Okay, I want all you to know, this is mine. I bought it." Yeah. And I bet you'd like to have some. And went on with my children's story. And if you've been here, you probably remember that children's story. My children remember it well from years gone by. But anyway, I think they enjoyed it. I don't think they were used to the interactive aspect of a children's story. And had to loosen them up a little bit. But anyway, Reverend Bagley sends greetings to all of us. So let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for Lydia. I already asked for hands. I was going to ask the birthday girl, but that's fine. I should have thought about her. Amen. I agree with that. I think Jeremy's been reading my sermon notes again. Mm-hmm. You can see if you think that when we get into it and remember some of the songs that we sang. Anyone interested in a children's story? Okay, great. We have people on Zoom tonight, so I'm going to stand here. And I think maybe they'll be able to hear better and certainly see me if they like that. And that's good. Well, how many of you pray? Good. I thought I was safe in asking that question. Every night? Good. Well, let me ask you this, and well, it's okay to answer this. How many of you believe that every time you pray, God's going to answer your prayer?
Some yes, some no. All right. Well, why do you believe that God's going to answer your prayer when you pray?
Because he's God.
Because that's what faith is, isn't it? Yeah, you pray because you believe that God's going to hear, that God's going to answer, and he's going to do good things. And sometimes we don't see the answers to our prayers, and so we wonder, is God going to answer my prayer this time or not, right? And, well, here's a story about a missionary and a man who needed prayer. But, well, you'll see what the man thought about getting prayer and how it worked or didn't work. Mr. Top, okay, T-O-P, lives in Bangkok, Thailand with his family, and his business was not doing well. Do you know what kind of business Mr. Top runs? Top hats? That's a good guess. It was shirts. Okay, so he sold tops. You were in the right, you had the right idea, Josiah. Yep, that was good. That was good. Okay, he sells shirts. That's why he named his business Mr. Top. His house was full of shirts, which he took to the market and sold to earn enough money to feed his family. But what would happen if nobody bought Mr. Top's shirts? He'd lose his business. He wouldn't have any money. How would his... What?
He'd have a lot of shirts.
He'd have a lot of shirts.
He would get shut down.
Yes, he would get shut down. Would they be able to buy food? Yeah, that would happen. Okay, well, when Mr. Top's sales continued to go down, he became very discouraged. If he could not earn enough money, he would not be able to feed his family. This is why Mr. Top became very sad. Right about that time, a missionary bought a building right in Mr. Top's neighborhood. Pastor Sudhakar, a Bible teacher who also taught English classes, moved into the mission's building. He then began offering Bible classes and English classes to the community. They also began to have worship at their little center in the mission building. And one day, as Pastor Sudhakar was visiting people in the neighborhood, he knocked on Mr. Top's door. Pastor Sudhakar invited Mr. Top to and asked him if he could pray for him and his family. Mr. Top was a Buddhist, and he did not want Pastor Sudhakar to pray for him. In fact, he wanted Pastor Sudhakar to leave. He wanted nothing to do with Christians. Pastor Sudhakar left, but he didn't need to pray for Mr. Top. Mr. Top had a dream about his visitor that day. In his dream, he saw Pastor Sudhakar in a little church he pastored, surrounded by light. In his dream, he also saw that he, Mr. Top, was surrounded by darkness. Mr. Top became scared because he did not want to be surrounded by darkness. The next morning, he went to see Pastor Sudhakar and told him about the dream. He explained that he wanted to know more about his church. Now he wanted Pastor Sudhakar to pray for him so that he could be surrounded by the light like he saw in his dream. Pastor Sudhakar prayed with Mr. Top, and he left, feeling at peace and happier than he had felt in his whole life. When Mr. Top went to the market the next day to sell his shirts, guess what happened? He sold one shirt, then two, then five, then 10. By the end of the day, all the shirts that Mr. Top had brought to the market were sold. Mr. Top was ecstatic. He had sold more than enough shirts to earn the money needed to feed his family and care for them. As soon as he could, Mr. Top went to see Pastor Sudhakar to tell him how God had answered Pastor Sudhakar's prayer. Through that experience, Mr. Top learned an important truth. God wants to bless us in unimaginable ways. He wants to provide for our every need and fill us with his love. But sometimes we get in the way because we do not trust in him, listen to him, or we do not ask him to help us. Mr. Top did not even know Jesus, but he recognized how the God of the universe answered the prayer of Pastor Sudhakar. He saw how Jesus blessed him and worked in his life. Because of this, he wanted to get to know Jesus for himself. Mr. Top did get to know Jesus. In fact, he accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord. He is now a baptized member of the little church near his home in Bangkok, Thailand. He has not missed attending church ever since the first time that Pastor Sudhakar prayed for him. He continues to sell his shirts and every day falls more and more in love with the only God who can answer prayers. He now tells everyone about God. Prayer makes a difference. So we want to be sure that we pray for people and for needs and for whatever's on our heart to pray about, because God cares about the things we care about. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you've given us the privilege to connect with you directly through prayer. And I pray that these children, as they go from this place, as they continue to grow and learn to know you better, that their love for you, their passion for you, their hearts for you will continue to grow. And that their prayer life will become vibrant and real and important to them. And that they'll see the answers to the prayers that they pray. That their faith will be strengthened. And they'll see people come to Jesus because of their love for you, for them, and for you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. Do some scriptures trouble you? Some scriptures trouble me. Yeah, I have to admit it. And when I heard a pastor say about a hot topic issue in the church, that, well, those, I just decided that those texts just don't, they just don't apply to me. And I'm saying to myself, I got some pages I'd like to rip out of my Bible. Can I do that since you're doing that? And anyway, I didn't do that. These pages are still in my Bible, but sometimes they trouble me. Now, I want to back up from that a little bit and explain where the inspiration for this message comes from. And I didn't know if it might come up in our sharing time tonight. And it was mentioned, but not as a prayer concern. And Wendy shared about, used the word Afghanistan in her sharing, and how that motivated her to pray with some other people that she never dreamed she would be praying with. And this last week, Carla tagged an article in her Facebook page, I believe it was, that asked about, it was titled Afghan Pastors Ask for Prayer. And that article, inspired this message. What?
I said, oh dear.
No, not in a bad way at all. At least I hope it's not. I don't mean it in a negative way at all. I hope it's inspirational for us until we're done. But it was a good, I felt it was a good article. And does anyone other than Carla and maybe Jeremy, and I don't know if Eliza or any of your children read it, is anyone familiar with that article? Good, because I'm going to read it tonight. And if everybody had read it, then I wouldn't have to. But it's in light of what's happening with the Taliban, and they're taking over Afghanistan, and the oppression and persecution that will come to Christians, as well as other people groups. But I'm focusing primarily on Christians because that's the portion of the population that I personally identify with, and that is my deepest concern, because I see that as the lifeblood and the hope for Afghanistan in the future. And if that light is extinguished, which I don't believe it will be completely, then I have very little, if any, hope for the nation of Afghanistan until more light is entered into the country. So over the years, I've had any number of scriptures that have troubled me, but particularly in the Psalms. I love the Psalms, and I'll be reading in the Psalms, and here's Psalm 139, and it starts out, "You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." We skipped some verses in the middle there, but these are all inspirational things. This is the chapter that talks about you knit me together in my mother's womb. All your works are wonderful. I'm God's workmanship. And all your works are wonderful. So that means on my worst day, I'm wonderful. You know, the guy at the first church asked this morning, "How are you?" I said, "If I was any better, I couldn't stand it." He said, "Well, you're having a good day." I said, "That's every day." He kind of looked at me and said, "Oh, good for you." You know, I was in church, so I didn't tell him, but I know Jesus, and he makes a difference in my life. But I should have. So this is inspiring stuff that comes out of Psalm 139. And I've preached this chapter on more than one occasion. And I'm sure I will again. But then it goes like this. "If only you, God, would slay the wicked." Well, wait a minute. Where did this come from? We're just talking about how wonderful God's thoughts are, how he knit me together in my mother's room, how all the days ordained for me are written in his book. And now, "If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." What's coming next? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How did that paragraph that I read just before this get in the middle of all this? That's troubling to me. I mean, you know, I mean, I've actually tried to reconcile that and put it together with what the rest of this passage is. And I have trouble with that. And now, that's Psalm 139. Now, if we go to Psalm 51, did I include that? Okay. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Sounds a lot like the end of Psalm 139, doesn't it?
see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In fact, it's exactly the same. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Wonderful passage. Inspirational. Inspiring. I love it. Then we go to Psalm 52. Very next psalm. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long? You who are a disgrace in the eyes of God. You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It's like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. God's going to kill you. Uproot you from the land of the living. You evil person. I mean, where's the redemption in that? Where's the grace? Where's the mercy? Oh, well, we're Old Testament, aren't we? This is David's, okay? Psalm 53. Everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That sounds like Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None are righteous, no, not one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on God. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. I have trouble with some of these passages. Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. And these are successive psalms. Now, these aren't all the psalms that I have trouble with, but these are some of them. And I just thought, you know, one after the other, after the other, after the other, they've got these passages in them that are vindictive and that are calling God to destroy and to kill. And now the Afghan pastors ask for prayer. And I have to think, in light of my life, our life, here in 21st century America, by comparison, we have a life of ease and comfort. We don't know what it's like to face opposition. We don't know what it's like to have our life at risk for our faith. To have our livelihood at risk for our faith. And there's exceptions to all of this, but by and large, I think what I'm saying is accurate. And so these passages about the evil are out to get me, how do we relate to that? It's not been my experience. But if I was a Christian in Afghanistan tonight, if this was a church in Afghanistan tonight, we wouldn't be meeting in a church building, I dare say. If we were meeting at all, it would be in a secluded room with all the shades drawn. If we had a light, it would be a very dim one because we wouldn't want it to be seen from the street. This is how the underground church operates around the world, not just in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is the latest hotspot. And if I was a pastor in Afghanistan, I'm thinking that David's thinking and David's requests to God might resonate with me. And I may well meditate on those scriptures and begin to pray with those scriptures. Lord, do away with this Taliban. Send them to the pit they deserve to go to. Slay the wicked, O Lord. Let their efforts come to nothing. And then I read about the Afghan pastor's escort prayer. It's one other thought I have about what's happening in Afghanistan. And we could go to any of the persecuted churches around the world. We could go to Iran. We could go to communist China. We could go to many, many countries. Do you believe those Christians think maybe they're in the middle of the tribulation? I do. Tuck that thought away for when we go through Revelation, because we'll be coming back to it. I plan to do that this fall, into the winter. And who knows how long. Get me started on that book. And I have fun. I hope you will too. So, how would you imagine that Afghan pastors want us to pray for them? You read the article, so you're excluded from this conversation. It's part of the conversation. Anybody? Can't imagine, can we? How can we begin to try to put ourselves in their place and answer the question, what would I want someone to pray for me if I was there? Get me out of this place. Get the Taliban out of here. Okay. Here's the passage that the writer of the article quoted first. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. So pray for these people as if we identify with them, as if it's my brother or my sister that's being persecuted. Because while we've not met them, if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are our brother or our sister. And we should have the same kind of compassion and passion for them that we would have if it was our flesh and blood brother or sister. Because Jesus was told, your mother and brothers are outside and your sisters, and they're looking for you. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my brother? And then in the Message translation, he made this statement. Obedience is thicker than blood. So my tie to brothers and sisters in the faith should be stronger than my physical brothers and sisters. Not that that's any weaker than it is now. It's just I should have it stronger. Just food for thought. So here's the article. As Taliban forces have swallowed up Afghanistan and even now the capital city of Kabul, pastors in the country have been emailing and messaging me over the last few days, even hours, anxious for prayer. Pastoring just a short flight away in the United Arab Emirates, I've had the opportunity to build partnerships with these men over the last decade. Now, I would suspect that there are very few, if any, female pastors in Afghanistan, just because of the standing of men and women in their culture. So when he says men, he probably means that, not to be exclusive of any women pastors, just probably acknowledging that there aren't any. One house church leader sent me a picture of the small room he was hiding in with his family. He wrote, "This is where I am living. We are hidden right now in different areas." Another pastor wrote, "We can't go out like normal. It's dangerous. We moved to one of my friend's houses, but it's not safe at all." Mindy Bells at World Reports that pastors say the Taliban has contacted them, saying they are coming for them. It'd be quite easy, I think, to be fearful. And foolish to be out in the open going about as if nothing's wrong if you're a known Christian pastor. I say foolish, and I'm talking about from a physical sense. Here are specific ways they have asked for you and your church to pray. So the question I raised at the beginning, what prayer would you ask for? We're about to get the answer to it. And it might surprise us. Number one, for physical protection and provision. I asked one brother if he was presently in physical danger. He replied, "Not only me, but my family too, because of me." So it seems reasonable to pray for physical protection and provision. I can understand that prayer. I can clearly identify with that. We need to pray that our sovereign God would physically protect our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Boldly go to the throne of the universe and plead with our God to restrain evil and confuse the plans of evildoers. Now, this is the author suggesting this is how we pray. Pray also for physical provision. One brother asked that we would pray for financial issues because no one can take out money from the bank and ATMs are empty. A number has specifically asked that we would pray for visas to get out of the country. So let me throw in an additional request to you, dear reader. Is helping secure a visa something that you or someone you know are in a position to help with? If so, do what you can. Reasonable request. Whether you are or not, you do have access to the throne of the universe. And you can ask for Heavenly Father to provide. Pray for physical protection and provision. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. I could see that they could identify with that passage. If they stop there, I got no trouble with it. But listen to some of the rest of Psalm 109. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few, and another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Whoa, wait a minute. Let me put that in English. Killing God. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. And it goes on. I just stopped. I think I stopped there. Now, he's not asking us to pray that. But this is one of those troubling passages that is Old Testament. It's vengeful. And it's you know, depending on who's, yeah, so. Number two, pray for spiritual provision. This is a big one. I mean, the other one was huge too. Every church leader who has emailed or texted me has asked that we would pray for the Lord to strengthen them in their faith, that they would stay strong in the Lord, who is the sovereign King, as one put it. Their faith is being put to the test at the potential expense of their life. And their prayer is not that they be removed from the situation, but that their faith remains strong. Our spiritual forebears, as Anabaptists, goes back to men and women who were persecuted. Men and women who lost their lives, some their possessions, some were exiled out of the country, some were in prison, and harassed and tortured in many, many ways. And there's a thick book called Martyr's Mirror, which is hundreds of pages, couple maybe over 1,000 pages, I think. And it's fine print. And it's the stories of the known martyrs from the time of the Reformation and the beginning of the Anabaptist faith. To the present, to the then present. And those stories, I mean, there's the story of a man that was tied at the stake to be burned at the stake, and his mother was there imploring him to keep his faith. That's real faith. That's a living faith. And while I'm talking about Afghan pastors as program, this is the Afghan church that they represent. And we need to pray this for every believer in Afghanistan, not just the pastors, and for the persecuted church around the world. These are our siblings in Christ that Jesus died for. This is a quote from one pastor. Pray for me to be strong in my faith. It's really hard to stay here, said another. If you're reading this, you have the opportunity to ask God to protect and even increase the faith of our brothers and sisters in the Afghan church. They don't know what today, much less tomorrow, will bring. They can be certain that our God will supply every need of theirs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's a quote of Philippians 4:19. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Romans 15:13. May you be strengthened with all power
according to his glorious might. Colossians 1:11. And then the third point they ask for prayer is for an advance of the gospel. Did you hear that? One brother described these days as dark and said they feel like a storm. And I've been in storms. My children have been in storms. My dad's been in storms. Dad's been in hurricanes. My children and I have been in floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, and tornadoes. We've been around the block. I can identify with some of that. Not to the extent that they're at. What faith? Here is a man whose life is in danger, who asking us to enjoy so many privileges and freedoms to pray that God would open the eyes of the spiritually blind and give life to dead hearts. Yeah. Let's pray. Where's the word I'm looking for? I must have missed the quote, because he said, pray for revival. That was the word he used. Pray for revival. Yeah. Let's pray for the salvation of the Afghan people. Let's pray for the salvation of the Taliban. Other persecutors around the world. We're focusing on Afghanistan tonight. Wouldn't it be like our God to work in these horrible circumstances to make his great name known? While our Afghan brothers and sisters face terrible uncertainty, we should be like the believers in Acts, who themselves face serious threats and persecution, but without ceasing offered up earnest prayers to God. I'm thinking of the persecuted church, and I believe it was Libya, that for many years, the persecution was strong, and they were a house church, they were an underground church for those times. And when it started, there were, I think you count the numbers in the thousands or maybe tens of thousands of Christians in the country. And when the light came on and that country opened up, there were like 6 or 7 million Christians. Let's have that in Afghanistan. Why not? Persecuted churches grow. And it's an act of God. But people are inspired by the courage and the faith of believers who continue to believe in the face of persecution. And they see prayers answered in ways in persecuted situations, it seems, that we don't see in our country when we pray. Because they're desperate. God doesn't answer my prayer for provision. Just pick up an extra job, work a few extra hours, I'll be okay. It's not the situation that these folks are facing. Finally, brothers, this is a quote from Thessalonians, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. Great passage to pray. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Revival in Afghanistan? Salvation of the Taliban? Headline tomorrow morning. Top 5 leaders of Taliban convert to Christianity.
Our hope is not in politics, but in Jesus. That's the title of a section, but it's going to be the quote of a pastor. Over the past weeks, U.S. missions agencies have pulled out their workers. I've had the great privilege to minister the word to some of them as they have processed their own grief and confusion. I'm grateful they could get out. Pray for them as well as for any who chose to stay. And I'm sure some did. Their heart, their call, their passion was for the people they're ministering to. Can't leave their family at a time of need, for their mission, or their calling. But pray especially for the Afghans who have no choice but to stay, such as one brother who has already spent time imprisoned for his faith in Afghanistan. He has assured me again and again, we can trust that our Lord is mighty and will care for his children. And our hope is not in politics, but in Jesus, who is the King. We need to listen to that in this country. We care too much about who's in office. It should never affect our faith. It should never affect our mission. It should never affect our passion for Christ and for lost souls. This is not escapism. This is biblical faith when all earthly prospects are completely bleak. Don't you know that such faith brings great glory and joy to our Father in heaven? While these days are dark and tragic, remember that God, he holds the rulers of this world in derision. He promises to make the nations his son's heritage, the ends of the earth his possession. Yeah, Afghanistan will be Christ's possession. The author is Josh Mann. Now, I've listed what to pray for, just the three main areas. While I know it's 7:26 and 25 seconds, and we generally are wrapping up about this time, we're trying to, I'd like us to take some time to pray. I think it would be tragic to be talking about it and not do it while we're together. And so I invite you to pray from whatever depth of your heart you can connect with on this, and just bring it before the Lord. Let's just take a few minutes. Let's not try to get through this as quickly as we can. Let's allow the Spirit to lead us, speak to us, and just lead out in prayer. Now, I don't care if two or three of you are praying at the same time. When we're all in our homes apart, God hears us all when we're praying at the same time. So he doesn't have any trouble picking out our voices and knowing who's who, what we're saying. If there's 15 of us here praying at the same time, in the same or different languages. But let's just pour out our heart to the Lord on behalf of the people of Afghanistan.
Father, we come to you tonight in the name, the character, the authority of the Lord Jesus himself, knowing that his heart is broken for the people of Afghanistan, both believers and unbelievers. Father, I just lift to you tonight this broken country that's in turmoil and chaos, where Satan thinks he's won and is celebrating and rejoicing. But we know in the end that you have the victory. And light always overcomes darkness. So I lift to you this persecuted church. And I ask you to provide abundantly for it all of its physical needs. Food, clothing, shelter, finances, whatever the need is, from your abundance and glory. I thank you, Jesus, also.
You're blessing on the people of Afghanistan. Help them to keep strong faith. Supply their needs.
Just ask that you would just reach out and just protect the people out there. It's them, both Muslim and Christian. Just ask that you would look over everybody and just keep everybody safe. Just ask that you would protect those Americans and other international citizens that are still over there on the road and are unable to get out. Just ask that you would just use this as an opportunity.
Strengthen their faith that they will be granted boldness to continue to share and spread the gospel.
We will provide a way for structured and resources to.
Father, I pray that the faith and the commitment of every Christian in Afghanistan will be strengthened and remain firm to the very end of their lives, whether that's minutes, hours, days, months, years, decades from now. They'll stand for you with every breath they take, and that they'll find that your presence is sweet and real and tangible. tangible in the face of all the persecution and all the danger and life that they face. I do pray for revival. I pray for the salvation of unsaved souls. Father, my heart is broken that Christians would lose their lives for their faith. But that heartbrokenness pales in comparison to the heartbreak for those that have a lifeless eternity to face, eternity of separation from you because of the lack of faith in our Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, bring renewal, bring revival. Bring life to that dead, barren country, to those people that need a Savior. Pray that they'll find Jesus, they'll find life. Speak to them, Lord, in their dreams and visions, in every way that you have at your disposal, ways that they cannot deny the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ.
Christians in Afghanistan just lift up every woman and girl who lives there is just at risk because of their gender. Just like that, so they just protect them, strengthen them.
Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that your Spirit will continue to speak to us about the need to pray on behalf of the people of Afghanistan, the persecuted Christians, and people around the world. Pray that we'll have a heart for revival, for renewal, for life. And Lord, I look forward to the time when the news reports are that there's dancing in the streets of Afghanistan, Kabul, because of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the life in Christ Jesus that people are experiencing. And the world has to stand in utter amazement at the resurrecting power of our awesome God. And our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Bring it to pass, Holy Spirit, I pray. In the awesome, awesome name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope you're encouraged, not discouraged, because we are on the winning team. And what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We get a one-way ticket to heaven? Hello? What's wrong with that? We ought to be lining up. Oh, that's right. God's a God of the living, not of the dead. He's given us desire for life, not death.
So I have another podcast, if you're interested, that is with, they call him Pastor X, and he works with a variety of nations, but he said that Iran is the fastest growing church and Afghanistan is the second fastest growing church.
Really?
And I only got to listen to half of it, but it was also just giving more insight into what they're facing. So I can pass that on.
Yeah, like
I was
have
like,
it.
Oh, yes, I should have given that to you.
That's okay. This is how we learn, and this is how we grow.
Yeah, that one has some more information with it. You want to listen to it privately.
Okay.
Not with children. No.
I got you. I understand. Yeah, and I knew there was a risk. I trust it's okay for what your children heard tonight, what our children heard tonight. And I want you children to know that in Jesus, there's nothing to be afraid of. He's love, he's kindness, he's good. He's going to take care of us, all of us. God bless you each with an awesome week. I look forward to being together again.